Coming to you live from the west side of the I Street Bridge, it's the Nate Darling Show.
Call me sir, goddammit.
With Jason Casey and Kareem Daniels. And now, trust him. He's a professional.
Pardon my French, but you're an asshole.
Here's Nate.
All right, welcome in to another episode of the Nate Darling Show. We have a very special guest joining us.
Oh, yeah.
Hi! I choked on my spit. I'm not used to it. It's been a while.
Welcome back, Diana Hong. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me back. It feels good to be back. It's new music.
Yeah.
Nice. And then this is nice. I feel like the room's bigger.
Yeah, we've been able to move and adjust and create stuff. And as you asked, what's all this stuff out in the dining room? It's all the stuff that normally would be in this room.
I see it.
Yeah, so it makes a lot more sense when you think about it that way. So.
Well, I was just surprised you golfed, because that was the first that I heard of it, was seeing the golf clubs on the floor in your dining room.
I think we Facebooked about it several times.
Like, yeah,
I
mean, we've been to Top Golf, what, two or three times?
Yeah, but that doesn't mean you golf.
I get your point.
That's, you know, that's like going to mini golf and be like, oh, I'm a golfer. Like, that's not the same thing. People that go to Top Golf just...
She's a golf snob.
Yeah.
Golf snob.
If I were to go to a fair, right, and play those basketball, like, win a stuffed animal game, and I'm like, okay, so I'm a basketball player. Like, I could totally take on LeBron. I won a stuffed animal. Like, that's not the same thing. Like,
just because your people are the top female golfers in the world doesn't give you the right to be.
We're the top everything.
You the right to be.
It's like even worse when everyone is the top everything and you're like the one that's not. Yes. That's like, my parents are upset.
Hold on, are you North Korean all of a sudden? The greatest of all and hole in one on every shot? Is that where this comes from?
No, it's South Korean the ones that actually do get on tour. And so, like, when you have a Korean kid that played golf and that was, like, pretty decent and that didn't make it, you're just like, oh, sad.
You're a failure.
Yeah, that's pretty much what happened.
She's a Chinese kid that can't play the violin. That's
the Jewish veterinarian?
Yeah.
I mean, I am the Korean kid that can play piano, barely.
Oh, well, welcome back. You've got a show coming up Friday night.
Yeah, it's my last one in SAC for a while. I don't know when I'm coming back.
What?
Well, it's kind of like, I don't know, no one's booked me yet. And also, I don't know, I'm moving. It's not going to be so easy for me to come up here, a.k.a. I'm not going to be rich enough to just come back up and just do sets that, you know... I can't, like, a drink ticket. I can't put a drink ticket in my car to pay for the gas to get up here.
Does not work like that.
That is a fact. Oh, you know what we need? We need to be able to do, like, FaceTime stand-up.
That's YouTube stars.
No, not like that. But it's FaceTime, so it's two-way. You have, like, an iPad on stage where you're doing live stand-up comedy to the audience, and they can hear you, and you can hear them. Or hear them sit there silently.
I think people would be like, would think that would give them more of an excuse to like be loud and not give a fuck. Cause it's like watching a movie almost, but like you're hurting someone's feelings, but they're so far away. You don't care. Like, this is why cyberbullying is a thing. Way to go, Nate. You just found another way to make comedians feel like shit. Thanks.
What they do is they have a heavy on stage with them. They're like an enforcer, like just with a bat.
Yeah. Turn me over to that heckler. Because crowds are so nice to comedians normally.
We get along so well.
Right?
It's like a bachelorette party, like Johnny
Taylor.
Yeah,
that's exactly what it's like.
Yep.
There's nothing more, like, honestly, like, if you're having a bachelor or bachelorette party, do not go to a comedy show.
Who doesn't love you enough that they were like, I feel like when shit like that happens, it's just like, no one in your life loves you. Like, every time I see a party, I'm just like, do your friends not love you that they didn't think that you wanted to have a good time? Like, I get it. Like, comedy shows can be fun. Mm-hmm. Like, but that's like just a fun activity to do. It's not anything to really make your final night about.
Yeah. If you want to bring your bachelorette party to comedy, go to improv.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No!
What? You let them talk. No, you ask them to talk.
No, yes. but no. You do not, listen.
I thought we're in this together. This right? is why there's a war between stand-up and improv.
No, because we don't want them either. We don't want the bachelorettes either, or the bachelors. Because here's the thing, is they're always hella inebriated. Like, it doesn't matter. They're always hella inebriated, mm-hmm. which is never good or conducive for anybody else having a good time.
They're going to make the show better. What are you talking about with their right? great drunk suggestions? Yeah. I'm just helping the show.
That's it. Yeah.
By the way, if you want to have your bachelorette party here on the podcast, contact me.
Yeah, let's do it.
Come on in. Fun. We have a room. It's not very big.
But you'll have a good time.
I mean, right now, we've got 5 people in this room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We could probably put another chair in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, we could put the bachelorette right on a stool in the middle of the room.
Oh, we could question
totally
him.
Be the center of attention.
Question exactly. him or
oh,
her.
Oh, also, if you're looking them. To celebrate a birthday and you want to feel special, let me know and we'll bring you in on the podcast. You can literally sit on a stool between Jason, Kareem, and myself, and we'll look at you and do nothing but give you attention.
Yes.
Yeah. All the attention that your mom, your dad, your significant other won't give you, we will give it to you for the entirety of a show.
And you will have it recorded, and mm-hmm. you can have it forever. And then you can also, if they're far away, they can do the FaceTime thing. You have a computer, right? Or like yeah. an iPad? Yeah, perfect.
Well, they can FaceTime while they're sitting there.
Yeah, yeah. We've had yeah. FaceTime. We've FaceTimed yeah. a couple of people in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or
Carl Fredericks.
Google.
Internet champion.
Yeah.
Internet champion.
We'll do that occasionally, but yeah, reach out. I'm on Twitter at Nate Darling. Go ahead and reach out if you want. I don't care. Yeah. I don't care. I do care though. If you're going to be doing some Amazon shopping, that you click through the shop Amazon tab at natedarlingshow.com.
Yes. People been ordering shit.
You know, not enough.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Not enough. They need to do better. I know it's summertime and the living is easy, and you're probably not on your computer much. But yeah, be better. Do a little bit more. Like back to school shopping's coming up.
Yeah, I'm about to do some of that up through the tab.
There you go.
I totally messed up and used Instacart on Saturday night, and I probably should have used Amazon Prime like now shopping.
What's Instacart?
It's like Grocery Shopper.
Oh,
like
it's how Jason fucks the podcast when he's not on it.
Oh wow, this is uncomfortable. Did you just?
That's what I'm saying.
He did with no lube.
Why'd you admit that out loud?
Because I wanted to be honest. I need to.
But no one asked you.
By the way,
I'm just reminding people.
You're like
I guess I'm just saying. Like, think instead before you're using something like that. Why don't you remember that you can get that on Amazon?
Sure. If you have the experience of someone dry fucking you in the ass like Jason did to us, you might want to pick up some lube through the shop Amazon tab at natedarlingshow.com. It'll be delivered to your home in a discreet package, so you don't have to go out to Goldie's or the Hustler Club or whatever other place. Oh, Kiss and Tell Boutique or whatever might be in your neighborhood. Maybe the G-Spot. The subtly named G-Spot.
Oh,
on J Street.
I don't know if you can get this through Amazon, but if you're looking for lube, the Velvet Swing Cannabis Lube is... Okay, I'm just plugging them because I got it for free, and I thought that was very nice. And I was like, from what I hear, is a great product.
Hold on.
Is it on Amazon? I just felt like it was appropriate to plug a product.
I just felt some heat from behind me.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know. Jason, if you could go ahead and look that up. I don't want that to be in the search history on my wife's
like, computer. I don't even want to.
But I didn't.
I don't even want to look behind
me.
I just know that I felt some heat from behind.
I didn't know cannabis lube was a thing. So if you are someone that is like into that, like.
Well, let me tell you something.
There is a
lawmaker in New Jersey who's very concerned. If you'd listened to Sex Toy News last week, he's very concerned that if they legalize marijuana, there will be nothing but marijuana-laced dildos out there for everybody.
That doesn't sound like a bad thing.
Okay.
No, it's Velvet Swing.
Velvet Swing.
Yeah. If you can't get it through Amazon, get other stuff through Amazon, but you should look up. You know, we're going to stop. I was trying to do a nice thing.
Me too.
I realized what I was saying, though.
Like I said, I just felt heat from behind me. That's it.
Here's what I was trying to do. Plug your show on Friday.
Oh, yeah. VFW and West Sac. it's just great because it helps the VFW, which is the Veterans of Foreign Wars post. And, the chef there, they got a new chef who is really, really good, and she's making ribs for the show. And I think she's selling dinner till like 7:30. So get there early. Tickets are $10, $15 at the door. But if you email me or hit me up on Facebook or whatever, and let me know you're coming, I'll still give you that $10 prize, because this is just, I'm doing it myself. Like, people think this is all professional shit. I'm like, no, you can just hit me up and just, please show up.
Yeah, reach out to
Diana. What time does the show start?
It starts at 8.
Okay.
Reach out to Diana Hong.
And I'm bringing, yeah, oh, yeah, Diana Hong. It's all, everything is well Hong. D. Get it? Huh? Because, anyway, so from the old podcast days, Nate helped.
Trust me,
her stand-up show is better than that.
Yes.
It is. And if you don't think I'm funny, that's perfectly fine, because Becky Lynn is actually taking over the venue when I move, and she's going to take care of the VFW. And they do a lot of great things for the community and veterans. So, like, I'm glad that someone who's also a really funny comedian and a great person is going to help continue and help build that room. And then we have Christina Walkinshaw from L.A. I believe she's done Just for Laughs, like, in Montreal, I think. But she's really funny. She's amazing. She's super funny, and she's super nice.
So she can make it up here to do a show, but you're telling us you couldn't once you moved to L.A.
I'm paying her. I know what it costs to come up here. That's why she's coming up to do a show.
And if someone pays you that, you'll come back.
Oh, hell yeah.
There you go.
If anyone wants to pay me that, if you want to know, also hit me up.
She's got a rate card.
Yeah.
And a list of demands.
I wish. I'll make something up.
There you go. All right. So real quick, before we get into any of the more serious stuff, Johnny Manziel, Johnny Football, is in the Canadian Football League. He got traded to Montreal, and it looks like he's going to be starting Friday.
It's a gimmick.
And the game is on ESPN2.
Of course.
At 4:30 our time. Now, it was scheduled before the trade.
Okay.
That game was scheduled. ESPN2 carries some Canadian Football League games. No one watches them.
Right.
In the States, to speak of. But I guarantee there's going to be quite a few eyeballs to see if Johnny Football has what it takes for the CFL.
I think it's hilarious that they're still trying to make him a quarterback.
They're very excited. The guy that traded for him in Montreal was the guy who recruited him to go to Texas Tech.
Yeah. But the fact that they're still trying to give him a chance, like it's like they want him to succeed, even though he was a fuck up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Everyone loves a good redemption story.
Can I? Just for somebody that does not watch football.
Sure.
Someone help me.
Can you tell me the story of Johnny Football, like, in like a couple of sentences?
Johnny Football is a rich, spoiled kid who went to college where he put up some really good numbers.
Because he had a 6'5 wide receiver who would go up and catch stuff that he threw that nobody else
So he was king of the Texas town where Texas Tech is. He was drafted by the Cleveland Browns, where he was less than successful. He had several run-ins with the law. He had issues with substance abuse, both alcohol and otherwise. And domestic violence. Wow. He is a violent drunk when he is drunk. He has allegedly cleaned up his act. He is allegedly clean and sober. And,
well, good luck to him then. But.
you can't throw stones, my man.
That's what I'm saying. Good luck to him. Sobriety.
Fuck him.
But at the same time, like, I just want to just because I always argue for the end, like, from some stupid, like, and I don't want to argue for it. But at the same time, Cleveland. That's all you need to tell me. Like, of course, everything went to hell for him. Like,
No. It wasn't Cleveland's fault.
It was the
alcohol and drugs. Wow. He even said that Cleveland was stupid for taking him.
Oh, was he already like that?
Yeah, he was like that before he got to Cleveland. It wasn't Cleveland.
He was partying and spoiled.
In Texas, right. Okay. He didn't study
the playbook. He didn't do anything to be a professional quarterback.
Whoa. Are you really surprised that people are going to try to want and support the, like, a rich white kid that plays football?
That's why I'm
surprised they're not there's more.
And they still are. And that's why I'm like, fuck them.
Yeah.
You're running back black quarterbacks out of the league for what's his name?
He's in a different league now, Kareem.
Oh, I know, but I'm saying they're trying to get him back to the NFL. That's the thing.
I just feel like sports and athletics in general, like, there's still, what's his name? That swimmer is still, like, trying to make a comeback in his life. Like, it's just, like, athletics. Anytime you have, I don't know. I just feel like there's too many shitty people that is just kind of, like,
oh,
people
mean,
have been putting Ryan them Leipke. On a pedestal.
Are you talking about rapey Stanford swimmer?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. He's, like, saying he just wanted, like, outer course is his thing. Like, his
get
defense
the fuck
now.
Out
yeah,
of
that's
here.
His appeal now.
Get the fuck out
but
of
But that's
here.
What happens when you get a rich kid and they, like, have one good
a
semi-talent.
Class.
Yeah,
by the way,
like,
you're not sports. You're not allowed to outer course someone who's passed out behind a dumpster.
Yeah. Outer course is still...
still not okay.
Any type of course...
Yeah.
Unless it's a safety course.
Right.
Is not a good idea.
Right. Otherwise, there is no recourse.
Yeah.
and at this point, all they're trying to do is get it off his record.
Exactly.
So he doesn't have to
but
be
like,
a sex
man, fuck
right.
that shit, yeah. man. That guy doesn't, get that. Sorry.
I'm like, whoever reviews the case should actually reinstate the original charges and upcharge his ass.
Oh, yeah. for sure.
Let's see 30 years of no issues, you know.
No.
Well, while we're on that topic, so Twitter has, whatever you tweet lasts for a long, long time.
Yeah.
And a couple of Major League Baseball players have now apologized for their past Twitter transgressions. Not just the reliever from Milwaukee. There were two more this week.
Oh.
Trey Turner, the Nationals shortstop, has apologized for some offensive, racially insensitive language and homophobic slurs.
Really?
That were on his Twitter feed in 2011. 2011 or 2012. 2011-2012. The Nationals released a statement saying, I have spoken with Trey regarding the tweets that have surfaced. He understands that his comments, regardless of when they were posted, are inexcusable and is taking full responsibility for his actions. The Nationals organization does not condone discrimination in any form, and his comments in no way reflect the values of our club. Trey has been a good teammate and model citizen in our clubhouse, and these comments are not indicative of how he's conducted himself while part of our team. He has apologized to me and the organization for his comments. Here is his apology. There are no excuses for my insensitive and offensive language on Twitter. I'm sincerely sorry for those tweets and apologize wholeheartedly. I believe people who know me understand those regrettable actions do not reflect on my values or who I am, but understand the hurtful nature of such language, and I'm sorry to have brought any negative light to the Nationals organization, myself, or the game I love. At the same time, Braves pitcher Sean Newcomb also apologized for offensive tweets from 2011 was a bad year for offensive tweets.
I guess so.
What was going on in 2011?
The election of Barack Obama.
The re-election of Barack Obama.
Oh,
Barack Obama.
Yeah. Awkward.
Yeah, there was a lot of that going on. Yeah. By the way, Sean Newcomb was one strike away from throwing a no-hitter this past weekend. And basically, as that was going on, someone was combing back through his Twitter feed.
Why do people just stop? Like, when you get famous or when you sign something, just, like, start a new Twitter. I don't understand.
It's in there. Well, and here's the other thing. James Gunn was fired from Guardians of the Galaxy. And we'll talk about his all of the actors have come out in support of him. But he was fired for things that were posted and that he apologized for before he even directed a single frame of Guardians of the Galaxy.
So Leslie Jones was on The View today. And don't judge me for watching The View. So fuck you if you're going to do it.
Too late.
Too late.
But one of the things she talked about was the shit that she did that, you know, that we said before we knew better.
Right.
And then, you know, and I know they said some racist shit, and I'm not even going to.
I don't know exactly what it was.
But when you're between the ages, and I've said this before, between the ages of 14, I'm going to say 14 to 20, you can say and do some really stupid shit. And actually, 14 to 28, I'm going to give you that.
Especially when you have money.
But still, you're going to say
even
stupid
if you don't.
Shit.
Yeah,
you're
going to
do stupid shit. And then part of that is the process of you figuring some shit out. Because I'm pretty sure those guys played baseball. They played baseball in a way that they got to the highest level of baseball, which means it was them and a bunch of white dudes for the most part in everything that they did for through high school. That's pretty much because baseball is an expensive sport. Most of the black players.
It is now.
Yeah. Most of the players that are black players that are in the sport, their daddy played baseball. That's, if you look at who's in the majors now, most of the guys you hear, somebody in their family was a baseball player.
Yeah, the travel team, the travel team has just gotten ridiculously overpriced.
It's way, it's like really expensive. So, you know, they were in their bubble. They did the shit that the people in their bubble did. And hopefully they've grown, learned and grown in, as they've gotten out of their bubble and become professional baseball players and now have to spend time with people that aren't just white people.
Yeah, when they got to their, when they got to their first minor league, stop, and the team was half full of Dominicans.
Yeah.
I mean, 2011 too, I feel like I've tried to look through my old timeline and shit, and like that shit takes a long time to load if you go past like, a year or 2 years.
Yeah. They have people trolling.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous. I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
Like, Kareem says a lot, like, you can't play fair. Like, they're not going to play fair, so you can't play fair.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, unfortunately, that just means that, I mean, you got to have trolls. Like, I'm both, I, they're going to have trolls, and they're going to do it. They're going to do it to people like James Gunn, you know, try to do it to Patton Oswalt. Like, the same guy tried, like, the guy invented Pizzagate. The guy that pretty much invented Pizzagate is the guy that got out James Gunn. You know?
The child sex ring operating in the basement of a pizza parlor that didn't have a basement.
Yeah. And the thing is, part of it. No, and part of it is the press's fault because the press won't call balls and strikes.
Yeah.
Or or instead of just calling balls and strikes, the press wants to equate everything. And so
there's a lot of just reporting on what was said rather than saying there's no validity to the claim.
Because they're fearful of litigation, right?
I mean, they're not fearful of litigation. They're trying to get that demographic. Mm. So like right now, Fox News realizes that they have a dying demographic. So they understand it. And so they're swinging a little bit more to the center.
Well,
it's a slow swing, but they're doing it. But in that process, you have other networks trying to cater to the demographic. That's why the blonde chick that I can't remember her name right now, who was on Fox. That's why she has a show on NBC that they're breaking their neck to try to make her successful. And nobody really wants to watch the show.
Is it Tommy? Tommy?
No, it's Megan.
Yeah. So they bring. They bring all of the, so what they do with that show is they bring all of the people that everybody likes on NBC onto her show to try to make her a likable person. And so that's one of the things that's going on. And because they haven't been calling balls and strikes, and they've been trying to cater or trying to appease that demographic, you get people like this who can just throw out shit from somebody that did something way back when, and it doesn't balance it out.
Well, let me explain what Kareem is missing out on here. If you report that somebody said something and then you say, no, that's not true, there are people that will accuse you of editorializing and taking sides. Even though all you're doing is saying that's not true, it's definitively proven that this is not true. There are people that will accuse you of taking sides. And legitimate journalists, that's the thing that they're most afraid of, is being accused of taking a side. They want to be seen as impartial. So what they've started to do, and this has been a slow progression.
It's not, no, they did it during the Bush administration, which is how we ended up in Iraq with nobody calling.
Right. And so that's where it's not necessarily the swing to a demographic. It's, I don't want to be accused of being this. And it's swung all the way to, well, that's fake news.
Right. But the other part of that is it worked during the Bush administration, and instead of them learning their lesson from that, they're going right back to doing the same thing. And so you get people that get to just, so what you did was you created a thing where now you got these people that are just going online to try to find shit on people. They don't even care. It's like he said, they're just trolling.
Mm-hmm.
They're going through anybody who's famous's timeline to try to find something they can throw
out. That has an opposing viewpoint.
That has an opposing viewpoint, and they can just throw it out.
Yeah. That's the age that we live in. And, you know, here's the thing. I'm almost at the end of the Innovators book, which is, the guy that he wrote the Steve Jobs book. He wrote the, Benjamin Franklin book. And it's all about the transition into the digital age and how it was such a teams, like how these different teams of people kind of work together and stuff like that. But the, the thing is that like we're on it. This age has been thrust upon us so quickly and so fast that like the next generation, the kids that are like growing up right now, like my daughter, those one, like they're gonna have such a grasp on this to where they're able to spot the bullshit really quick because they're already like the kids that are like 15, 16, 17 are already able to start doing that and don't necessarily like. I think there's a
I don't agree with you. I think that's parenting because there's a lot of bad. I know a lot of kids that are just like they soak up everything because they think what their parents are teaching them, and so they go to those sources. So I think like I'm sure if you teach your daughter like to like filter out bullshit, she's gonna be able to learn because she knows she has the tools. But there's a lot of kids that are teenagers that like I think they have too much.
The other thing is if your parents are gun toting, redneck loving, Trump supporting, everything is fake news that doesn't come from here and here, that's what they're gonna grow up with. That's what they're gonna believe.
See,
I see that parroted back from where I'm from people who are between the ages of 17 and 27, they're right in that, and they are as far right wing as you can imagine, and they're just parroting back all of this shit.
Yeah, and like he said, so when I managed the spa when Barack Obama was running for president, and so so we would have conversations about him and the president or his running for president while we were at work. And one girl in the spa said something really stupid. And it was something that...
Hold on. A girl in a spa said something stupid? Let me brace myself here.
And I don't even remember what it was, but it was something that was unfounded and that we had already knew that it was debunked or whatever.
Sure.
And somebody said something. And I was like, yeah, she said something that some retarded people told her or whatever. And then it turns out her parents were the retarded people that told her. So she was mad because I said that. But... And then it was about her, it turned out to be about her parents.
Yeah.
But that, so to prove Nate's point that that's what they're doing. They're praying back. And then to go back to what you said earlier, you're right. Because what the newspaper reporters aren't doing is not that they're afraid of those people pointing it out. And the people that are pointing are saying that they're being editorializing. They're not honest brokers. So they're not saying that you're editorializing because they feel that you're really editorializing. They're just saying it to get you to move to do what they want you to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
So that's really the problem.
It's the subtle manipulation in the public forum, and it's really propaganda.
Yeah,
it's how propaganda and controlling the narrative works.
Yeah,
and that's why it's really important to get stuff from a bunch of different sources. As opposed to just going, I only go to blank. Whenever I hear about something, especially something that makes me go, those motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The first thing I do is I Google it and go to news and go, okay, how many people are reporting on this? What are they reporting?
Yeah.
And if it's only like one or two, unless it's like, this is an exclusive. If it's only one or two, I know it's probably bullshit. Because if it's a big news story, it's going to be in dozens of articles from a variety of places, even if they're just quoting other articles.
Yeah.
But if you see one or two, it's probably bullshit.
So there's a dude that I've been following on Facebook. He was the guy, he used to own, I believe, there's this Irish restaurant, like Irish cafe that was only open for breakfast. That was on Stockton Boulevard, over by the Church's Chicken. I don't know.
Yeah, it's closed.
Yeah, it closed. So, anyhow, he moved away, but, I saw him post some stuff, about, he posts like some very, like the people that voted for Bernie Sanders, Bernie Bros. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like that, like the whole, like the, how a lot of people like hate those people, like, and there's guys that are Bernie Bros that just really hate Hillary Clinton, I guess. He's one of those guys, I guess, because he's been posting some stuff, but he posted something saying that Tom Hanks was a pedophile, and that this girl had posted that she was part of a sex cult ring, that he'd been sold, that Tom Hanks had bought her when she was like 11 years old, like, and then like, so I'm like, get the fuck out of here. Like, it was like one of those really bad like Twitter like screen captures. It was just so horrible, and it's like, who the fuck is saying something? Like, so like I go and and search a couple of things, and like, it's like, I searched the woman or the person that posted it, and like, she's also talked about like how Hillary Clinton's a witch and has a coven, mm-hmm. And how like she was part of some sex cult, like in her father, sure. like, and it's like, I feel really bad for this woman if she really exists, if it's a real thing.
Or if she's actually somebody who's out there who has suffered trauma.
Right.
And is thus doing this. It sounds more to me like it's some bullshit artist.
Right. No. Yeah. And this guy fell for it, right? So that time. So I was like, sure. Okay, I'm going to give him, like, I'm not going to say something because I don't want to be, I'm not going to throw it in his face just yet. But then he posted something else today, and it was the same. It was like, from a right wing, like, thing about pedophiles, like vilifying, like, saying that pedophiles are trying to infiltrate the LGBT.
Oh,
movement.
Yeah, that's been a thing.
Like, and it's like, come
yeah,
on.
We, yeah. Well, we had someone last week who was actually into a microphone said that the B stood for bestiality.
Yeah, yeah. So I just like
wait here.
No, on the podcast.
The podcast.
On the podcast.
Oh, I was like, I'm sorry. What the fuck? Who the fuck did you let in your house?
Yeah,
eh?
No. That person would not be.
Yeah,
No. Yeah, no. I think he knows better.
What chair were
like
they
in.
Sitting
yeah.
in?
All right.
Actually, right there.
it's coming through your pants right now. speaking of people who are concerned about pedophiles, Roy Moore was on the new Sacha Baron Cohen show.
I hate Republicans for making me watch Sacha Baron Cohen. Because you know I watched that yesterday, right?
I assumed you did.
Yeah.
I call the show Who's America. My wife watching TV with a horrified look on her face for 30 minutes. normally her mouth is open and her hand is over it and her eyes are wide, like, what the fuck is going on here?
Yes.
So anyway, we'll skip ahead a little bit into this piece, but, Sacha Baron Cohen's, character, was interviewing Roy Moore. And, I think the audio does this justice.
Which character? Is it the Israeli?
Yes, it's the Israeli fella.
Okay.
You'll be able to tell very easily.
It turns out the sex offenders, and particularly pedophiles, secrete an enzyme 4-DDHT, which is actually detectable. It is three times the level of non-perverts. So the phrase sweating like a rapist is actually based on science. Mm. So in Israel, they have developed a machine that is used in schools and playgrounds to detect anyone coming in. And if they detect a pedophile, the wand alerts the law enforcement and the schools within a 100-mile radius. It is very, very simple to use. You just switch it on.
It's like a metal detector wand.
Neither of us are sex offenders, then it makes absolutely
He's
nothing.
Waving
just
it over
put
himself.
It on, you put it nearby. Wait, that's obviously a problem.
Every time he waves it over Roy Moore.
Hold on. It must be faulty. It's malfunctioning. I'm sure it will do the same with the other guy here. Chezi?
So he calls the crew member over so he can wand him. Nothing. Now back to himself, and then to Roy.
Sorry, is this your jacket?
Yes.
Did you lend the jacket to somebody else, maybe?
No. I've been married for 33.
Sure.
I never had an accusation of such things.
I am not accusing you at all. This is
well,
not...
then, if this is an instrument, I'm not a pedophile, okay?
No, but the machine is...
Well, I don't know. Maybe Israeli technology hasn't developed properly.
This is 99.8% accurate. Well, it is not saying that you are a pedophile. Of course not.
I am simply cutting this conversation right now.
No.
Thank you.
Have you been...
Been nice.
Have you been
I support Israel. I don't support this kind of stuff.
I'm not saying that you're a sex offender at all.
So the new development is Roy Moore is now threatening to sue.
Oh, what a fucking idiot. I hope he does sue. Oh my God. Like, does he realize what he has to do? Like, this, what, isn't he a lawmaker? Doesn't he know what happens if he has to sue? Like,
Jason, he's a judge.
So he knows that if he goes, like, all the shit's gonna come out.
No, he doesn't.
Oh my God. I hope he sues so bad. I really hope he sues.
Do
like,
you-
Okay,
I can't wait. No, I hope he sues so much.
Okay, so do you know how many people have been caught because of shit like this?
Oh, yeah.
When they decided to sue and then...
Discovery.
Yeah, yeah.
Literally is discovery. Hey, look at the shit we found.
Yeah. When you gotta do a deposition.
Yeah. Oh, I hope he sues so much. I know, that's why I said it. Like, I really hope
someone is gonna tell him no. He's paying someone enough money to be like, nah. Like, you threatened that, but you don't actually do it.
That's why the president dumbass's attorneys want him to testify because he's had to do depositions and he can't not lie.
Yeah.
Well, that is absolutely true.
he can't not lie.
We have some advice for Roy Moore. Just coming into us right now. Got this idea of a lawsuit against Sacha Baron Cohen. You know, maybe you should pursue it. Maybe you should just...
Snow glows white on the mountain tonight.
I don't know.
Not a footprint to be seen.
Yeah, maybe you should think about it.
Yeah, it'll come clear in a moment.
And it looks like I'm the queen.
How do you not know this?
The wind is howling like this swirling storm inside.
I know that's what you feel right now.
Yeah, the anger.
Can't keep it in. Heaven knows I try.
See, she tried.
Right.
Let them in, don't let them see. Be the good girl you always have to be.
Roy Moore.
That's right, Roy Moore.
Be the good girl.
Don't let them know.
Come on, Roy Moore.
Well, now they know.
Show them! Show them!
Let it go, let it go. Can't hold it back anymore.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can't hold it back, so, Roy Moore.
So it was a dude that sued the Dixie Chicks. That's who was the person that got busted because of
hilarious.
Because of the deposition.
Yeah.
Good. Good for the Dixie Chicks.
Yeah, you know what? The law will get you a lot of time in ways you never expected.
Yes. I can't remember that which documentary that was in. But yeah, it got him.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Was the one that was on the, like, cause I saw one on the Dixie Chicks about like their whole, everything that happened after the Bush administration.
I think it was Hot Coffee. Yeah, it was that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah.
All right. So Roy Moore pondering suing.
please. We support you, Roy.
Yeah, do it.
Yeah,
Roy.
Go ahead. Bring the lawsuit, Roy.
I think we should, you know what I think we should do? I want to start a GoFundMe campaign for Roy Moore.
Roy Moore's lawsuit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It wouldn't surprise me if one of the other characters that Sacha Baron Cohen does on the show does that very thing.
Yeah.
By the way, you can follow all of those individual characters have their own Twitter page.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, and they always have responses, right?
Yeah, and, well, here's the fun thing. The Israeli character retweets NRA stuff all the time. So if you're not up with NRA, then follow him. All right.
And how we can.
Hold on. That started before I was ready. God damn it.
No advertisement?
Well, no, this is, all right. So on Monday, your religious liberty is now being protected. Allegedly.
And only one religious liberty is being protected.
I am announcing our next step, the Religious Liberty Task Force, to be co-chaired by the Associate Attorney General, Jesse, and the Assistant Attorney General for Office of Legal Policy, Beth. The task force will help the department fully implement our religious liberty guidance by ensuring that all Justice Department components, and we got a lot of components around the country, holding that guidance in the cases they bring and defend, the arguments they make in court, the policies and regulations they adopt, and how we conduct our operations. That includes making sure our employees know their duties to accommodate people of faith. And as the people in this room know, you have to practice what you preach. So we're going to remain in contact with religious groups across America to ensure that their rights are being protected. We have been holding listening sessions and will continue to host them in the coming weeks. This administration is animated by that same American view that has led us for 242 years, that every American has a right to believe and worship and exercise their faith in the public square.
Okay. Call me skeptical. But I'm not seeing this being great for anybody who isn't Christian.
One religious liberty.
Specifically Protestant Christian. I don't see this as being great news for the Muslims.
You don't think they'll take the Catholics?
I don't think it's great news for the Catholics
really?
Either.
No.
No, they, by the way, they hated JFK. The idea that a Catholic was going to be president.
I mean, if it's against the gays and the Catholics.
They were afraid that the Pope was going to be president because JFK was president.
Right.
This is the thinking.
Mm-hmm. By the way, this
why
is.
Why Catholics not like us? We're on the same team then.
No. No, because.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing.
I don't understand things anymore.
The new Pope is okay with LGBT. It's everybody else throughout history in the Catholic Church.
Yeah, well, my wife's Catholic, and her parents, her mom and dad, are both Catholic, and they're on the good side. They're
well,
good
sure.
Ones.
There's always some of the good ones, Jason.
They're good ones.
I'm talking about the people making policy in the
right.
church,
yeah.
Not necessarily individual parishioners.
Yeah.
Now, the Daily Beast came out with an article same day, saying that this is not good news for the LGBT people, saying it. It's basically declaring a holy war.
I mean, yeah, but we've been there.
But we should be past that.
Really?
We should be.
With everything. Do you not see who our president is?
No,
like,
no, no,
really?
I know that. I know. We're making America awful again.
No. Here's my theory. Once people can make money off of us, they will, and they have, and they're going to, and they're going to continue this.
Sure.
All this shit doesn't matter. Like, they're not going to touch us. We make too much money. Like, that's why I'm not tripping about it. Like, it's like, worse, I don't know. I'm so fucking over this bullshit.
What this is making sure that, whatever baker doesn't want to make the cake for your same-sex wedding can say, no, you're gay. I don't want to make
the cake. And they should be able to, though.
Right. Well, that's...
That's the thing. Like, if we, as gays, just stop tripping about other people and supported our own community, we wouldn't be in this fucking mess, and they wouldn't have to feel like they have to do this. Like, that's what... Like, I don't know. Like, we went to a bill signing. Like, there's other things to worry about besides getting turned down for a fucking wedding cake. Like, we have... California is passing a bill to make conversion therapy considered fraud. Like, mm-hmm. that's a fucking thing we should... When we went to the bill to, like, say that we support it, and there was not a lot of people there. There was more people supporting, like, opposing the bill, and there was a lot of children there, which was scary. But, like, and there's a lot of Asians. That was very disappointing. But,
Don't you know your people?
Yeah, I know, for real. That was also kind of like,
Unfortunately, it's everybody's people, yeah. And...
But the Asians are very, like, a lot of Asians are religious because they were, like, the... You know, they got... Is colonized still the right word?
Yeah,
because, yeah, with religion. So
and missionaries.
So they don't exactly know what they're supporting, because a lot of them were like, they didn't really know what was going on. But they were just there because of religious things.
So
they, yeah.
Part of the reason why the West hated China so much was because of the Boxer Rebellion, which means they killed all the Christians that had come in.
Has nothing to do with Barbara Boxer, by the way.
That has nothing
to
do with Barbara Boxer.
Reading that in history.
So that's, and they weren't open for missionaries because they saw what the fuck they were doing to everybody else. And was like, yeah, no, you're not going to stay here. seriously. So that's one of the reasons. But.
Well, in Japan too. That's why Japan was so isolated for so long too, right? I mean, you're white. Yeah, we're gonna call you Gaijin.
You don't get to tell us what God to believe in. That's
get out of here.
I just feel like I said, the whole thing about this holy war thing, it's because like I get it. If we start alienating, like when people are like, you know, they get put on blast and shamed on social media when they're like super obviously racist and like terrible, I'm like, yeah, put them, like, blast them. Like, we should alienate them. They need to fucking learn that. That's not okay. Go, instead of going to a straight baker, go to a gay baker. Like, why the fuck are we not doing this in the first place? That's my issue with this whole thing. I'm like, well, yeah, of course they're going to raise a holy war because they feel like they're being attacked. And they are.
But they're not being attacked.
Well, I get where... I feel like I understand where they're coming from when they're like...
No,
it's not founded,
no.
But, like, no. I get it.
They're... they don't give, they just want to be, so they want to be able to discriminate against you, period.
Yeah. But I get where, okay, I'm not saying they are actually being attacked. I'm saying I get why they're being, they feel like, because they're just going, they're like, well, this is my faith and now I can't do
it. No,
this.
It's not his faith because the Bible doesn't teach that.
I'm not saying that I think it's right. I'm just saying that, like, that's where their mindset is, and they're not going to learn any different if they just feel like, oh, we can't do this because you are suing us. Does that make sense?
The solution really is the gay bakery, and everyone go to the gay bakery.
That's what I mean.
The downside is if you live in a small town, there may not be a gay bakery. There may not be a gay-owned business to counteract that.
And it wasn't like the people that were buying the cake brought this lawsuit to the Supreme Court. It was the baker who got sued by the state, and it went to state court, and he was appealing up to the Supreme Court.
So the state court,
why did the state bring it up?
Because it violated their discrimination.
Yeah, you can't.
So not they, allowed but to they wouldn't have known about it if the people didn't go.
Well, they did complain to their, like, it became like a Yelp war, I think, or something like that. And that type of thing happened. And then it naturally came to the forefront of the
media.
I don't
think that's how it naturally happens unless you want it to happen.
Well, no, that's the thing. Like, this was their idea from the beginning. This was not, I think that once the lawyer got involved in it and saw what this case was, they kept propagating it. I read something about it. Like, they kept doing whatever they could to keep pushing it forward.
All you have to do is tell someone who happens to be an activist, and then the activist will push it forward. Yeah. Even if you don't, you're like, fuck it, I don't want to deal with this anymore. If an activist knows about it, if the ACLU finds out about something that's bullshit like that, they are going to pursue it. Because that's what the ACLU does. And
the right does that too. And that's what they did with this. They saw their opportunity to seize on something and push it through to the Supreme Court to get this type of possible. Like, there's the same thing happened with the union stuff.
And the thing was, they lost at the Supreme Court. So this is the new thing. We're going to have a task force on your religious freedoms.
Right.
Which is ridiculous because there are no Christians in this country whose religious freedoms are being eroded.
Ever.
No.
No. So, and I'm not saying they are.
So here's the deal. So this is what they do. They play. Okay. So when the oil companies wanted the mom and pop, gas stations to go out of business, they didn't attack mom and pop gas station business. They created, a coalition that looked like it was for the mom and pop gas stations. And then what they did was they got the EPA to put these new regulations in for the size of the gas tanks and the store the gas at the gas stations. They put all these regulations in that they knew that these people wouldn't be able to afford to do. And then those people got ran out of business because they couldn't afford to do all these new things that this mom and pop supposedly coalition had the EPA do. That's the game. They tell you to look at this and make it look like they're trying to do what you want done, but they really have another agenda.
I just think, as a gay person in this country that's been living, I know I'm young and I haven't gone through a lot of, like, what I'm going through now is nothing compared to, like, what people 20, 30 years had to go through. So, like, I know that, but it's just for me to, like, some of the shit, like, I feel like, I've been in the activist community for like 6 months, and I had to leave because I'm like, this is why we're losing. Like, that's what I'm trying to say. Like, that's all I'm trying to say is that, like, I get, why it's like, it's one of those things, like, we're trying to fight and they're just going to come back bigger and stronger because they have the upper hand right now by being in office. That's all I'm trying to fucking say. I'm not saying it's right or like it's wrong or like whatever. I get their mindset and I know it's wrong and know it's not founded, but I understand their mindset and I understand why things are escalating the way they are because we're not dealing with it properly. That's all I'm trying to say.
No, I think that's a really good point because activist groups quite often will immediately get a brick wall from people because of how they're, oh, you want to push all of your beliefs on me. Well, no. And then they go into this defensive crouch about everything and you can't ever get anything done.
And I feel like that's what happened with this story with the, like, if we're going to go back to the Baker story, a lot of it, like, it got the way it was presented on both sides, I feel like was wrong because they're trying to both, I feel like we're both guilty of pushing agendas. And I feel like it's because we're living in a frightening time.
Mm-hmm.
But I get that. I'm just saying that, like, this whole religious task force thing, it's just to like raise like fear amongst them. Like,
absolutely.
Nothing is changing in my life. I'm not tripping about this at all because this has been going on. They're just being open about it now because we can't.
I guess the thing is though, is that I guess some of us are scared of that have maybe been around for longer. I mean, cause I remember I had an uncle pass away, great uncle, but I mean, he was young, passed away from an AIDS-related illness in like 89. So at the very beginning of the AIDS epidemic, like, I remember a lot of that and a lot of the things that happened with that, but just how, so I was introduced to the gay community very young and what that was about. He stayed away from his whole family because they were Catholic, for his whole life and lived in Fort Lauderdale, but then I remember hearing stories of the gay guy that was beat out in Wyoming, like to death. You know, you hear like the guy in Hillcrest in San Diego in the 90s that was beaten to death, and it was like the reason you have gay pride, you know, when you do in San Diego. I think that people were just worried that these people that are motivated and scared by fear, they end up doing stuff like this.
They've been doing stuff like this, though.
Right.
What I'm saying is that we're losing. Like Nate said, like, we should be past this. We're losing.
No,
like,
we've been going through the same shit. No. You're not losing.
Because
here's the deal. So you're looking at what that guy did and the fact that they were gay with the cake and as the reason why.
I'm not saying that's the reason why.
You're commenting on that, but you're saying that. But that's a civil rights issue, which means that guy can now go say, well, in the Bible, it says the curse of Ham, so now I don't have to serve.
But what I'm saying is that it doesn't.
What that guy's now can now say is, it's the curse of Ham. I don't believe in, that I should have to deal with black people because they've been cursed by Ham. And so we don't have to serve black people.
So you want them to forcibly force you and then hide about it. And then 10, 15 years later, when they have a president that they are like, oh, we don't have to be scared about this. We can say these things. That's what I'm trying to say. These people been doing this. This is not a fucking surprise. This is all out in the open now because we have social media and we have a president that says that sexually harasses someone amidst to it and thinks that's okay. Who makes fun of mentally challenged people and thinks that's okay. We have people supporting a child molester and think that's okay. It's out in the open now. Before it was hidden. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying this shit is right.
Well, no. But it wasn't hidden because the only people it was hidden from was white people.
Well, those are the people that fucking make the decisions. When we're trying to change that.
Wait.
Hold on.
Wait. Well,
let's not get crazy.
Wait.
Well, not because people, but like before.
No. Because
you get what I mean.
I'm just interjecting some levity here.
Yeah. If we're speaking of hyperbole, you get what I mean.
No, because it's not all white people. That's the thing. There's a large swath of white people that aren't those people.
Hashtag not all white
people. Not all white people. Yeah. Barack Obama did get elected twice. And it wasn't black people and Mexicans aren't the majority. Black Mexican,
a lot of Mexicans would never vote for Barack Obama. Yeah,
well, then exactly. In that case, it's not a surprise. It's a surprise to Asians. No. Like, it's a surprise to everybody.
Yeah,
but then why would you say it's a surprise to white people?
Because you guys live in a bubble. Asian people stay in their community. They stay
in their community because they can't leave their community.
Asian people are the white women of the minority group.
Oh boy.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
And there it is.
How does that even make sense?
How does that make sense?
Yes. How does that make sense?
That means you benefit from everything from civil rights and you don't do shit to fight for it. That's what it means.
What do you mean we benefit everything from civil rights?
You are considered a minority group, right?
I'm so confused. I'm sorry. You don't think we do shit? Wait, one, you don't think we do shit.
That's not what I said.
Wait, no, but I don't understand.
That's not what
I said. You think we just sit down and like just benefit from everything and we're just like, oh, this is cool, this is chill? Like, you realize the only reasons Asians stayed in their community like that is because people wouldn't talk to them. everyone, no one would talk to my fucking parents. They will look at me and I would have to translate, and they would just ostracize Asians into their own community. So you're just saying they wanted to do that so we can just like chill and get everything?
So I'm so tired
of straight people telling me how I should fucking feel about being gay in this country, about like whatever laws and shit.
Did I say that you should?
You were trying to explain to me, oh, this is how this shit works. And I'm like, my own journey. Like, I get how society works, but like my story as a gay person and my story like what I've gone through, like you can't take away my experiences and how I feel and how I view things.
Okay. Well,
and you trying to change my mind when I'm like, this is how I view it and this is how I see it. And you're trying to change my mind with like, well, this is how it actually works in the real world. I'm just like, it doesn't matter. This is my world. Well, I already got the gay beat out of me. Like, that's great. Like, you've heard those stories. That shit still happens.
Do you know what I mean? Who's trying to beat the gay out of you?
My parents. I've already had that done.
I'm not trying to beat the gay out of you.
I'm trying to say there are stories I've heard. But that still happened.
But you're saying like I'm not trying to say anything about your. I'm saying that I'm fearful, and other people like me, I think, are fearful that we're gonna see more that type. I don't want to see people be beat up.
I don't either. But like, I feel like no one's actually realizing how to make changes, and so we're just like fucking ourselves over.
I went out and cleaned my sidewalk after Trump was elected, because I realized all I can do is affect the change around me and the people that I know and talk to, and call out the white people that are racist around me, because that's all I can do. You know what I mean? Like, I have a baby that I can raise and make a better person and help make a better world. But really, that's what I need to focus on, is my family and making, like...
Exactly. So, that's what I'm saying, though. This is my world, and this is my viewpoint, because this is what my world is going through.
Right. But that decision doesn't just affect your world. It affects the rest of the people that are affected by the civil rights movement.
I'm just saying, I feel like where the country is right now, that decision was almost inevitable, is what I'm trying to say. Like, I'm not saying the decision was right.
And they were waiting. They were waiting for it.
That's what I'm trying to say. Like, the decision was almost inevitable. We need to find a different way of, like, fighting this, because the way we're going about it right now is not helping.
Very true.
That's all I'm trying to say. That's all I was trying to say.
And this is a result of the president that we have and the agenda that he is pushing, that he does not need Congress to be behind,
right?
That he does not need the courts to be behind,
right?
So the solution is to register to vote and to vote,
right?
Because your vote actually fucking matters,
especially this midterm
election.
He's
only going to be in office for 4 years.
I fucking hope so. Unless I think the Electoral College fucked us over and has been fucking us over.
He's only going to be in office for 4 years, possibly 8. We still have to fight those battles after that.
That's cleaning up after that.
Yeah, but that's my point, is we can't surrender that right
now.
I'm
not saying surrendering. I'm saying we need to change our methods.
So the people that have been, so all of the black people that have been, had the police called on them for being black, or their, the guy who drove up to the lady, who he had the road rage incident, who he came to the guy's house and said, I just want to let you know how much of a nigga you are. That guy didn't say, oh, okay, well, I got to change my name. He put his camera on. He got the guy's name and phone number, his business name, and now that guy's out of business. I agree with those methods, though. So that's the same thing as saying, you're not going to serve me because I'm gay. That's the same thing.
No, but that's what I'm saying, is that like that shit is happening. Like, we might as well just do like that type of shit, because the law
that's
shit is not working.
They did.
But that's what I'm saying. Keep doing that.
Oh, and I have a really great example of it right here from our backyard at San Francisco International Airport. Here's a headline. Racist woman tells Asian man, have a nice trip back to China.
Oh, yeah, this is great.
It really, really was. And,
just say it to me.
Please don't take my picture. I'll have to report you.
No, you just said something really racist to me.
I did.
You did, so please repeat it. I know you're proud of it. You're proud of it. Just say it.
Oh.
Don't worry, I won't post this
That's
too much.
Okay.
Please.
Come on. I'm not going to say it.
Why? Because you're on camera now?
No, I'm
can you record
tired
it?
Of talking to you. Please stop talking.
No, you said something really racist to me. Extremely racist to me. I'm an American citizen. I was born in Boston, Massachusetts. Born and raised.
Okay.
So please, repeat what you just said. I never stepped foot in that country, ever. So please, say it.
Please stop.
Please, repeat it. I will stop once you repeat what you said. We're being honest.
I hope you have a nice trip back to China.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Yes. even though I've never been there. Can you agree with that?
Oh, help me, Lord.
You have a good day, too, man, okay? Thank you so much.
That's it.
She was so exasperated that she was caught.
She had a smile. She had a smirk on her face.
She was doing the white lady, please don't give me a ticket officer look.
Yeah.
But by the way, but he was born and raised in Boston, so he's a dick.
Yeah.
Because there's no way to be born and raised in Boston and not be a dick. It's just the way it goes.
Yes.
It's the fact of the matter. So, so she done fucked with the wrong Asian guy. But yeah, that's exactly what needs to happen. That's how the guy in North Carolina who wanted a pool pass got called out. That's how the barbecue lady got called out. People are getting called out. They're getting shamed in the public square.
But you should actually go and vote if you're gonna shame. Okay, my biggest thing too is that Sacramento, it was pretty much a landslide that Jones and Schubert won again. Like if we're gonna go on a smaller scale and like talk about that shit, that's why I'm saying, like, all these people are being shamed in Sacramento, but, like, look who's actually, like, we had a chance. And, like, look who's still running shit. Like, I agree with shaming, but, like, go fucking vote and do your research when you fucking vote with the shaming.
You know, I think that with Schubert, like, she fucking just planned it and had, like, she caught the Golden State Killer like a week before the fucking election.
She
was throwing so many banquets and stuff that I saw. I would see stuff on Facebook that like Schubert's doing this banquet. I was like, okay, but you can't go to a debate. You can't like actually do anything. You can't actually do your job, but you can throw these banquets.
Right, cause she knew that she had it in the bag because she had the Golden State Killer. Like, she did not give up.
She waited. I bet they caught him like two weeks earlier.
It was from 23andMe. Like, whatever it was from. Like, they had it.
And nobody really looks at the ballot like that.
No.
Yeah.
Nobody looks.
But that's, I don't know. That's where I kind of got really discouraged too, where I'm just like, we need to change something because what we're doing now is not working.
Yeah, we supported Tamrica, we supported Noah, like we went to rat, like you do what you can, but unfortunately a big problem also is that, the Golden State Killer, that's for sure, that happened, but also, no matter what you might think about how metropolitan Sacramento is in the downtown, midtown, and then south area, like, no matter how much you may think about that, it's still a lot of country out there.
Yeah, I drove.
There's a lot of country.
I think like near Galt, and there was like a Jones sign. I was like, can you vote all the way out here? I was like so fucking like scared.
Sac County goes to Galt.
Schubert lives in this really affluent community that's in the middle between the 50 and the 99. There's this community of like $1 million homes that's like out there that's like, I can't remember the name of it, there's a little community out there.
And only people that look at the person as DA on the ballot are people that are affected by the criminal justice system.
Yeah.
So it's almost a given that you'll just vote for the incumbent because you don't know any better.
Yeah. Especially after you've heard for the last week for 24 hours a day on every single network about how she caught the Golden State Killer. Like, that's all you heard. I was so pissed.
I was really lucky. I listened to stations that gave the credit, most of the credit to, oh my God, this is terrible.
Yes. My wife just finished the book.
Can she sleep? I keep hearing people like are fucked up over that book. Like they are so scared.
She's fine. She'll
be good. All right. On to important things. Oh, I wonder who this is. Who do you think?
My ex-husband.
Thank God. Thank God he yelled his name. I would have never known who this is. Some sad news. Justin Bieber, no more tunes before the wedding.
What?
First of all, he's off the market. He's getting married to Hailey Baldwin.
Selena just released that song that sounded like she and Biebs are going to, like, you know that one that's like... if I had my heart broken, I'll go back to you or something.
Remember,
like that.
You are the only gay person in this room.
How do you guys not know? What's that got to do with Selena Gomez? I don't understand.
That was not on my radar. I'm sorry.
I don't understand. You guys don't listen to Selena all the time?
Not yet.
I don't.
I don't. And I only got this from TMZ. Bieber was out with his fiance Sunday in New York when he got asked by a bunch of paps what's next after releasing this track. It's called No Brainer. He didn't hesitate long for an answer. He's saying that getting married is the most immediate item on his agenda. It also appears to be the first time Bieber acknowledges Hailey as his bride-to-be on camera. She was a little bit more bashful than he was being to be put on the spot, but seemed to appreciate the sweet shout-out. He proposed to her earlier this month in the Bahamas. We had that on the show. She said yes and was more than happy to flaunt the huge engagement ring that he bought her, which set him back about $500,000.
Was she a rebound, Diana?
I think so. I think it's kind of weird. I always thought Selena and the Biebs would end up together. I still hold out for that.
Hey, one never knows.
I mean, look at Ashley and Mila.
You still hope that Justin and Brittany are going to get back together too, don't you?
That's not going to happen.
You see, I did
until I was like, I kind of looked a little more into that, the whole Super Bowl thing with Justin and Janet. I'm like team Janet, so I'm just like, fuck Justin Timberlake, because I love Britney no matter what. I will always love Britney. Britney's better than Justin.
All right, well, I would love to chat with Diana all night, but we do have to wrap the show up, and as always, we do it like this.
Let's leave the hustle and bustle for small town news.
We go now to the land that Kareem just returned from, North Dakota.
So beautiful. So fabulous.
So
flat.
So
barren.
Flat.
And
small town.
More black people than Kareem was expecting.
Really?
Yes.
Marilyn Haggerty. Marilyn Haggerty writes.
That was actually an Asian lady in the restaurant we had breakfast at.
There was the one Asian.
The one Asian lady.
Was she working there or was she a patron?
She was working.
That makes sense.
Marilyn Haggerty writes, milestones of summer mark time's passage. They've been married for 70 years. Ray and Mae Gordon really meant it when they spoke their wedding vows. So the other day I asked Mae Gordon what it takes. She said, be patient with one another, count your blessings every day, and give each other space. So there's your advice, Diana, for your for a long-lasting relationship. See, now the years have just rolled by for Ray and May. Also, I guess having rhyming names helps. They have 4 children, 12 grandchildren, and 15 great-great-grandchildren. No, just great-grandchildren?
Damn.
That's weird. I don't know how that's even possible. They share their record-long marriage with friends Sunday at the United Lutheran Church. Now, as time marches relentlessly on, the days of summer 2018 are rolling along. On Monday, there was a bear roaming around Grand Forks.
I believe that.
Striving for Peace, Coping with Death is the name of the book published recently by George Schubert and his daughter Cheryl Schubert Madsen. It follows the death of his wife, Arlene Schubert, 2 years ago. Now, in the book, Schubert presents a series of letters he's written. He hopes the books will be a help to others. He's a dean and professor emeritus, of UND. He said he was planning to have the book available at the university bookstore as well. All right, let's get some music to wrap this thing up as I finish with the rest of the article.
I wonder if it's going to be a requirement of his courses.
It will be. You have to buy it.
You have to buy it.
Moving along, in November we object to Christmas shopping until Thanksgiving is over, and in July we object back to school ads. But you know summer of 18 is moving on when you see the SPA, or Summer Performing Arts, shows, and How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying is coming up this weekend at Red River High School Performance Hall. Anything Goes was featured this past weekend on the stage at Central High School.
Ooh.
Now you wonder how long the broken trees will be hanging around the streets of Grand Forks. You wonder whether Mother Nature isn't ashamed for all that happened. A visit with the city forester, Mike Fugazi, is reassuring. His name is Fugazi, by the way. I'm not making that up.
Awesome.
In his 39 years with the trees, Fugazi says the 100-mile-per-hour howling wind was the worst that blew through in August of 2001. The sky to the west was greenish-purple, he said, and we were cleaning up for 2 or 3 months. This year, he said, it seems the storms are coming at 4 a.m. or in the early morning. Now, as always, you can reach Marilyn Haggerty at mhaggerty@gra.midco.net, or you can call her at 701-772-1055. And Diana, You may not be aware of this. Marilyn Haggerty is the same age as the Queen of England.
Oh.
In fact, she penned some letters to her in the paper.
Yeah.
Talking about it.
Instead of actually just, you know...
Writing a column.
She will publish a letter to the Queen.
My favorite is the one she just writes to her friend in Arizona.
Yeah. Yeah, that's her whole... That's her.
She types the letter to her friend in Arizona, hits send into her editor, and then hits print and mails it off to her friend.
So
two birds, one stone.
But if you don't know anything about Marilyn, the one thing you have to know is that she's the lady from the Anthony Bourdain like thing when he supported her because she was talking about, what was it?
Olive Garden.
An Olive Garden.
She had a glowing review of the Olive Garden that opened in Grand Forks.
And like a lot of people were giving her, like were bullying her pretty much. And yeah. Like, and she came to her defense. And yeah. So. So that's what I mean. That just
so Marilyn's like a legit celebrity.
She is a legit celebrity.
Yeah,
everybody knows her. Well, and you know, for people who pay attention to such nonsense. Hey, it's small town news.
Yeah,
we're still writing about the wind 3 weeks later. That's what we're all about. All right, so Diana Hall, it was great to see you again.
Thanks for having me back. It was nice to see y'all.
Absolutely, and Friday night at the VFW in West Sacramento.
Come out, please.
Showtime's at 8 o'clock.
And
hit her up.
Get there early for food.
Yeah, and hit her up on Facebook if you want more info, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Or tickets.
Yeah, that's part of it, et cetera. That's the second one. That's what I'm saying. I will say this, I really enjoyed your argument with Kareem because normally only I yell at Kareem that much and it's been a while.
I've had a lot of pent up frustration for the last like 6 or 7 months now.
Well, that's what happens when you don't have a podcast to yell out every week.
That podcast would have gotten me in so much trouble though. You let me talk unhinged when I'm mad, ooh. You have, and that's probably still going to get me in trouble.
It's one of those things. If you go to NateDarlingShow.com, every single episode of the Well Hong podcast that Diana and I recorded, you can chart her personal growth as you listen along.
Bug, you really can. Yeah, I think I've matured.
Absolutely.
But I'm kind of scared, like, if I ever get famous, Nate, do me a favor, take those down. Or, like, let's listen to them and only keep the ones up that I can't get in trouble for.
You can listen to them all, Diana. Screen them as you like and let me know.
Okay.
But they're all on there.
I won't get that famous, it's
fine. Yeah, that's what they always say, that's almost a guarantee now.
No, you know, I want to get Tumblr famous, that's it.
Honestly, I think you should go back and listen to them all and just mine them for comedy gold. Just tracking the growth. Do you know how fucked up I used to be? I used to actually think this.
Yeah. God, Kareem, can you feel the heat from my face now? Like, I feel like...
Oh, they go through it every week. They get, like, they get... These two get everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Kareem and I have had yelling matches like you wouldn't believe.
Yes.
Not so much lately.
Not so much lately.
Y'all. I'm gonna miss
because he's now seen that I'm not just crazy ranting black man.
Well, he is crazy ranting black man, but there is some legitimacy to some of his claims. With that, I'll remind everybody.
So much has changed.
With that, I'll remind everybody of the mantras of the show: don't be an asshole.
Yeah, and if call out other white people that are racist.
Yeah, people. If you ever have said the black people should police their own community. It is incumbent upon you to call out your racist white friends and family members.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah.
That is the new mantra of the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean, like, someone really said black people should police their own communities?
Yeah.
That's what white guys have been saying.
Say it all the time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm so glad I got off the internet.
Anytime you bring up something, they'll be like, well, what about all the murders in Chicago?
The black people
should police their own community.
They're still doing that one?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, damn it.
They're playing the hits.
I'm saying. It's just kind of annoying.
Playing the hits.
South Sac, they say, too.
Yeah. That's true. All right. We'll see you on Friday with another fresh news show. Bye-bye.